welcome out there to another awesome and riveting episode of The Album Argument. I'm Ryan.
I'm Jeremy.
And we are so thankful to have you with us today as we talk about a pretty cool, could you say maybe dark danceable record? I don't know. Jay, talk to us about this record.
Yeah, so this is one of my albums that I gave to Ryan, and I wasn't sure if you've heard this. I kind of think that you know a few songs from it. I think everybody out there has heard a few songs.
I've heard a few.
But it's from one of the coolest band names ever, Depeche Mode.
Yeah, Depeche Mode, and their album called what?
Violator, which is also album name.
That's a cool album name.
I think the story goes, something that I read, that they were going for like something kind of heavy metal or something. It was like a joke, but
that would do it. Yeah,
it kind of fits. And then Depeche Mode is very dark, like you said, dark. What did you say? Dark dance.
Yeah, like dark and dreamy dance music, but like in a like sinister, but like. I want to think of like what were those books called that the ladies got into a couple years ago?
Oh, the ladies, right?
Yeah, just the ladies.
Never read them.
No, the 50 something or another.
Yeah, 50 Shades of Grey.
That would be like a good soundtrack for, you know, some of that stuff. I don't know.
Well, because actually some of the songs in Depeche Mode in general, and definitely one or two from this, some of the lyrics are slightly awkward.
They're a little bit awkward.
I mean, one song is called Blue Dress.
Yes, it is.
It has a bigger meaning, let's say slightly bigger meaning, but it's still called Blue Dress and talks about somebody undressing or dressing in front of you.
Yeah, yeah.
And World in My Eyes has some lyrics in it and things like that. But yeah, Depeche Mode, if you don't know, I mean, they were a band, one of the bands. When I think of 80s music, I don't know. I mean, I was born in the 80s. I don't know if they were pretty big, you know, but when I think of this, like the sound of the 80s, I think of like The Cure, New Order, and Depeche Mode.
I would say they're in that wheelhouse.
And then everybody kind of branches off from those sounds. Like The Cure and New Order kind of had a little bit, they were electronic, but they had maybe a little bit more band behind them.
I would say bands like Wall of Voodoo were probably much bigger than Depeche Mode. You know, the people that sing Mexican Radio.
Oh, Mexican Radio, sure.
Yeah, they're much bigger and better than Depeche Mode.
Or Big Country.
We're not going there because we all know that Big Country is much better.
Or U2 or something.
I was making
like
a joke about Wall of Voodoo, but you know, whatever.
I don't know. I don't really know Wall of Voodoo. I was just kind of going.
I'm on a Mexican
I know that song.
Radio.
But
I love that song.
Isn't that like the only song though?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That is a joke. Gotcha. So Depeche Mode. So, so they're a band from England, Basildon, Essex, England. They formed back in 1980. So by this time, Violator is technically an album of the 90s, released in March 19th of 1990.
Really?
Yeah. So it's an album that shows up on some of like best of 90s albums, which is kind of weird, but it's in 1990. It's a sound of the 80s.
Yeah, it's totally
but
a sound of the 80s.
One of my reasons for picking this and of always liking it, like if you listen to previous Depeche Mode, it sounds very 80s. And then this album is kind of a good bridge that it's nice and clean.
That's true.
It sounds, I think, better than a lot of the other albums. I don't listen to every Depeche Mode album, but I have the one before this, Music for the Masses, which that one really brought them out. What's the song? Never Let Me Down is off of that, things like that. So and great songs. I think I initially honestly got into Depeche Mode because of the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah.
Because they covered Never Let Me Down and some other songs. So, and they kind of get some sounds, let's say, from Depeche Mode. And that's the great thing about bands. You look into the bands that they're into. So, but anyway, so this was 10 years into being a band. By this point, it was their seventh album. Of course, David Gahan on vocals. Alan Wilder at this time was on kind of synths and piano and things like that. Andrew Fletcher, who just passed away, he's on synths on this album. And then Martin Gore, he's actually the main songwriter. He's the guy with like the cool, weird looking hair all the time.
Oh, neat.
And kind of guitar, plays a lot of the guitar. If you see them now or like videos, he's like always a guitar player and synths and everything. I mean, it's Depeche Mode. You see him sometimes, that's all synth players.
Yeah.
And then David singing, right?
Yeah.
So you might assume that, you know, the singer is the songwriter, but it's kind of like, what's the punk rock band? The bass player does everything and the singer doesn't write as much.
Fall Out Boy,
right? Isn't that the same? Like,
well,
the bass player kind of does.
In Fall Out Boy, the bass player is the lyricist.
Okay.
Like, he writes all the lyrics and stuff, but the music, you know, no.
So since then, David Gahan has like co-written and does write.
Gotcha.
And they're still going on. It's really just David Gahan and Martin Gore now, since Andrew Fletcher passed away and Alan Wilder was part of the band and then he left or something. So
gotcha.
He does his own stuff now. It's just an interesting mix of musicians. It's not the usual where like the person in the front is calling all the shots. So that's kind of nice to hear. Produced by Flood, who produced U2 and Smashing Pumpkins brought him in.
Smashing Pumpkins.
So that's how I knew him also. So Flood produced this. It went, at least at this point, it's 3x platinum in the U.S. Cool. So it's sold a bunch of records. For some reason, this reminds me of Skating Rings.
Yeah, I recall hearing a lot of these songs.
I think it was just that time, right?
Skate Along USA.
Yeah, so early 90s, you figure if it came out in 90, and then, you know, we're going, Skating Rink was, I don't know, that was around that time, right? Yep. 92, 93, birthday parties, things like that. So for some reason, I hear like World in My Eyes and Personal Jesus and all the hits off of this as you're like skating around. So anyway.
Just so you know, Skate Along USA is still open.
Still
and
there?
Running. Yep.
Nice.
And there's a carbon copy of it in Anderson, South Carolina called Skateland USA.
Wow. We my kids, they actually still do like school parties.
Oh, cool.
Like they do the big school fundraiser.
Yeah.
And so trying to see like half the school out there at the same time try to skate.
Yep.
It's kind of funny. Anyway, so yes, yeah, skating rings are, is it a rink or a ring?
Tomato, man.
I keep saying that, I'm apologizing rink? To English majors or skating rink or ring.
Rink? Skating ring?
Owners out there.
Who knows?
As I keep saying it back
now
and forth.
Now I'm questioning life.
As you can see, we do some light tweaks here on the podcast, but we are pretty much live. So
yeah,
anyways,
this is
you live or die with our mistakes. anyway, so this reminds me of that skating environment, I'll say. And then, some words you already mentioned. So electronic, but it's also kind of clean, mm-hmm. right? Electronic, because other stuff had a lot of reverb. This is very clean. Dark, as you kind of mentioned. It moves for the most part.
Yeah, it does.
Some of the problems I have with the album is when it doesn't move.
Yes.
Slightly creepy at times that we talked about,
yes.
right? But yeah, a term that we kind of used back in when I kind of got into this type of music was like dark wave. So it's like new wave.
Yeah, that's right. That's yeah.
But I would call this like dark wave. And I think that's a whole category that my vision of dark wave is not what that is.
Yeah, no, I would say like, so when I think of a dark wave band, I think of a band like London After Midnight, which I don't even know if you've ever even heard of. But like, to me, that's more like dark wave.
So maybe I'm just thinking new wave. So it's new wave. It's maybe I'm thinking The Cure and Depeche Mode. But yeah, it's an album that I've had forever, about 20 years at this point. I think I've said nice. All. Great layers too. I like them and I guess New Order and The Cure. I've always liked these three bands because it's all the layers, all the synths layers, all the like guitar and synths layers. Like you'll have a line coming in and then you'll have another line coming in and then you'll have the vocals coming in, but it's well produced and well arranged that it's pretty cool. Like compared to like some EDM music,
mm-hmm.
like I'm like, okay, I like this, but I don't like a lot of EDM.
Well, this was the precursor to all that.
But a lot of EDM is like everything all the time.
Yeah.
Now there's the drop and there's the build and it's not literally everything all the time. But, you know, I try to tell like when I was teaching the students, like, you know, you go watch an orchestra, it's not everybody playing all at the same time.
Exactly.
But when you listen to a lot of electronic music, maybe it's just more modern music. It's just like loud, 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 loud. And then maybe
get
it has
that
some
club
quiet,
going.
But it's like, you got to have this line and that line. And I just appreciate Martin for writing all the songs. Anyway, so.
But before you go any further, since you mentioned New Order, The Cure, and Depeche Mode, I know it's Depeche Mode, but Depeche Mode, if you had to rank them, 1, 2, 3, what are we talking here?
Well, I think...
On the spot.
This is tough.
It's not tough.
It's not tough?
It's not tough.
It's not tough.
It's New Order, number one.
Wow, okay, I thought you were going to say The Cure.
Oh, no. Cure, number two. And Depeche Mode, number five.
I could see what you think about Depeche Mode. Well, so out of all those bands, I think, I think New Order, I like their sound across albums mm-hmm. more. Like, I think Depeche Mode and The Cure have this, like, up and down, and
yes.
they, like, hit it, and then they don't
and
hit
they
it.
Don't. Yep.
And lots of reverb in this, but New Order's pretty consistent. Now,
yes.
some could say they hit it and didn't hit it, but they had the album that inspired what The Killer's Name, right?
Yep.
That we talked about, and that was released... Not
too
long
ago, yeah.
Yeah. And so they're still doing it. And Depeche Mode is, but then when you listen to new Depeche Mode, I don't
know.
The Cure is not really. So I give New Order and whether it's all of the New Order. Anyway, so.
That's just me. Sorry. Sorry for the tangent.
I agree with you, but I think the sound of this album, though.
The sound is very good.
Like, I just like the sound of this album.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll just go ahead and say, too, World in My Eyes, Personal Jesus isn't my favorite, but it still sounds good. Enjoy the Silence and Policy of Truth. Like those three songs. Mm-hmm. And if you add Personal Jesus, four songs out of nine, like those are four of the solid singles. Like I think some of the biggest dance, like non-cheesy dance 80s. Well, if this is 90s, 80s music that I listen to at least. Right. So I know The Cure has a lot of hits and New Order too and other bands too and Big Country and all that. But I don't know. I think I'm always amazed that this goes back to this album. This album sounds good. So when I rank them, that's when I'm like, but this album I still like maybe over all those other albums. I know what Disintegration, people like that by The Cure, and I have that, but I don't know.
It's a greater record, yeah.
It's cool. Maybe we'll do that. I've thought about that. But when I go back to it, I'm like, there's a lot more gaps.
Yeah.
And sorry, everybody out there, we're going off on this. But I think it's a good point because I love this sound. And this is, it's weird. I think I've mentioned this before, like a Wilco and a lot of these bands, even that I say I like, sometimes, like when we get really into groups and singers, like somebody's way into them. But then I have these artists, and it's a Depeche Mode that I'm not necessarily into every single thing that they do, but the overall aura,
yeah,
sound, approach, it's something maybe coming from like a producer songwriter, like, oh, I'm going to take a little bit from that. I'm going to take a little bit from that. I'm going to take a little bit from that. So, you know, am I a hardcore Depeche Mode fan? No, but they rank up there out of all of those groups, just having an influence, let's say, I guess a long way to say that. And, yeah, I have been holding on to this album, and there are definitely some gaps in this album too. But and I'll go ahead and say out there, if you're listening online, we're not talking about the remaster where it has all the Z sides, let's call it, because there's some B sides on the remaster. So we're just going 1 through 9, right? So we talked about this ahead of time. It's just World of My Eyes through Clean, because there's some B sides that you're like, those don't listen. So
there's a reason why there are B sides.
Yeah, you're gonna listen like, why didn't they choose this? So remember, streaming puts all of them up there. So, anyways, enough from me. I can tell you ranked them number 5. So I'm wondering who's number 4 and 3. Ryan Stroud, what did you think of Violator by Depeche Mode?
All right. Well, if I had to pick between the 1 through 3 and they're ranked at number 5, that should tell you something. I'll keep 3 and 4 to myself for
Big
a later
Country
day.
And U2 or something.
Like I don't consider Big Country to be a like new wave band, true, you know, type thing. But overall, this is not a bad record. I'd say it's a solid 2.5, 3-star record out of 5. It's not one that I'm going to buy. There are songs on there that I do like, and there are songs on there that that I didn't know of beforehand. So like the opening track, you know, World in My Eyes. I like it. That's awesome. That's a cool opener.
They play that on the radio and so forth.
See,
I hear that.
Never heard that on the radio before. So.
I don't know. Maybe I hear that on like a Pandora or like a suggestion, maybe. But I could have sworn I've heard that.
So, and that's fine. I'd never come across that at all. I have to be honest. I'm not a huge fan of the singing, and that's been my biggest hiccup with Depeche Mode. I feel like the singing either fits the song, fits the vibe, fits the mood, or it doesn't. And I know there's a lot of people out there that love Depeche Mode. And what is his name? Dave?
Yep.
Dave. David. I know people really enjoy his voice, and that's great, and I'm happy for you. It's not 100% for me. What is it? More of like a deeper baritone.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like, lower. And then compared to like New Order and Cure, those are much higher.
Much higher.
So I could see that.
So that being said, though, you know, I did enjoy this record. You know, I spun it a few times. It was neat. I do own other Depeche Mode albums.
Oh, okay.
So as to why I've never owned this one, I'm not really sure. So, I mean, maybe I'll pick it up. If I see it at a used CD store or something that's there, I'll be like, oh, okay, I'll grab it. But am I going to go out of my way for it? No. Other songs I really enjoyed, Halo, Enjoy the Silence. Obviously, you know, really good single. Just really, really good single.
Yep, I agree.
But Policy of Truth. I have always come back to that one. That is actually in my wheelhouse of like favorite Depeche Mode songs. That one's up there, coming close to like Walking in My Shoes. I love that song. And I forget which record that's off of. Off the top of my head, I don't remember which
earlier
album.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think it's the album before this one. But yeah, so I Policy of Truth is definitely up there. So I would say that's definitely my pick for my favorite song, the best song on this album. So I feel like his vocals are perfect on this. Like, this is his style of singing is what this song needs. And I don't feel it's that way on the rest of the album, or not the rest of it, but some of the songs in the album. I love his voice on this song. I love, you said the layers when we were listening to it, the layers are just rich. They're beautiful. They help each other out. That's the best part.
Yep.
The one layer assists the other layer that helps out with the next layer. And the music, overall on this album is really good and solid. So I, you know, please don't take my saying like three star out of five as like being a diss or anything like that. I'm just more along the lines of it's not 100% for me. Overall, the musicianship is very good.
Yeah, I don't, and this is weird that I, you know, when we give out albums, we want everybody to listen, or you just want the feedback, right? We want you, everybody out there, to be in the argument too. You can let us know what you think. I can go ahead and say I'm pretty sure this album is not necessarily for everyone. You know, sometimes you're like, oh, I want everybody to listen to this. It's great. It's the best song, the best album. But I could see you saying that. And some people, maybe the critics would say this is like a 5 out of 5. And then the, you know, those type of like, then the user response reviews are like, no, it's a 3 out of 5. Like, and everybody's like, what are the critics? Tomatoes. Yeah. What are the critics thinking? So I could see that. I mean, I don't know what I would say, maybe 4 out of 5. But anyways, keep going.
So if I had to pick, though, the song that I felt like that was the worst, and this is the thing, is I've got like 3 songs that I'm not a fan of. And when you have an album of only 9 songs and 3 of them are kind of like, I don't really want to hear these songs ever again. That's what brings that score down, essentially. Sweetest Perfection, just not really feeling that one. It just never notched with me. Blue Dress gave me uh-oh feelings from the start. Like, I listened to this album while I was working in my office, or I say it's my office, but like a room in my house where like stuff's going on. And so I had this album on repeat. And every time this song came up, I was like,
I think musically it's got some cool things, but I agree. The lyrics, I mean, obviously you see Blue Dress if you kind of look at the lyrics and what Martin says is that, the line, something along the lines of paraphrasing, you know, that's what the world is built on.
Yeah.
So he's using of course they go into that, like just say sexual side of things, like watching somebody dress, undress, whatever. But really the line taken from that is, you know, somebody undressing, let's say a woman undressing, that's what the world is built around. And they're
not wrong. The truth.
Yeah. It's just an interesting way to present it.
But the song I think is honestly the worst, and this goes back to, and I know a lot of people love this song. They love this song. I can't stand it. I have not liked it ever since I was a kid. And when I would hear it on the radio all the time, Personal Jesus, not for me.
Now, I agree with you that it's not my favorite song. I would still listen to this over other songs, but I agree with you. When it comes on the radio, I don't know if it's my favorite, and I've also kind of had a thing against it. No, I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, that's fine.
Like, I think I probably, like, change it. Like, it doesn't kind of fit the album, too.
It doesn't. Right? Well, just listening to it back there, like, the guitar line, I don't like that.
It's what, True Blood? Like, it could be the opening to True Blood.
It's like, it just doesn't work for me. No thank you. Again, to each their own. I know there's people out there that love it, and it was a hit song. So, you know, I'm not meshing with something there, but I'm not a fan of it.
Or like maybe that it has Jesus in it and faith. And I thought I was trying to read into a bigger, this is not my pick, by the way, but I agree with you. Like, close honorable mention for worse that I was looking into it. Like, is it like satire? Is it something? But I didn't get anything else beyond just the read of the lyrics.
So from my understanding, either the next album or the one after that, there was a time where the lead singer was like, he was playing a character in the music or something. If that's what I gather. I'm trying to remember back to an interview that I saw on MTV News or something like that from years and years and years ago. And I felt like he was saying like, yeah, for this song, I'm actually playing a character of this kind of egotistical blah, 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 blah. And that's the basis of the song. So if you revert it back to this and that's what he's doing, then okay, I think you made your point. Good job. But like, if you're not, and this is, you know, not satire in a way, like, I don't know. Like, I'm just not feeling it.
Yeah. I think the, now that I remember reading also something, something along the lines of Elvis and Priscilla, and he was her personal Jesus, like,
what?
Having something about that. But yeah, I thought like, if it had a message, if it had the message of personal Jesus, and it was like, I hate to say making fun of or something, like people put people up on a pedestal and it's gotcha. Not all like that. Like, maybe it would bring it in. Cause yeah, the maybe. Musical, the music side of things doesn't bring me into. And I'm like, I don't know if that's kind of Depeche Mode.
So tell us on our, you I know, agree. Reach out yeah. to us and tell us how wrong I am or how I'm missing the point here. And that's fine. I'll accept whatever criticism comes my way on this one.
But I think live, this could be kind of cool.
I'm sure it is.
Like the guitar and like it could, I feel like it's a live song, but I agree. Not that it's the worst, because there's still another song that doesn't move nearly as much. Uh-oh. But I was kind of nervous that you were going to say, like, you didn't say Enjoy the Silence. I was like, you're gonna pick
Enjoy. Anyways, I like Enjoy the Silence. I know. Okay, like, good. It's
you
a good song.
You should like it. But anyways.
I shouldn't?
You should like it.
I was about to say. No, I'm saying you should. That's a good song.
All right, so your pick is Policy of Truth and then yeah, Personal Jesus. Yep. Okay. Right. I like those. Yeah, because so, I mentioned World in My Eyes. I mean, Enjoy the Silence and Policy of Truth. Remember, I mentioned three, yep. and then some say four, Personal Jesus. But I'm saying those three hits, because I swear I've heard World in My Eyes.
Nope.
You were mentioning,
I like it, though.
Yeah, so I think you got good picks. Nice. Policy of Truth, one great line, I think, from that. We were talking about Silverchair a few weeks mm-hmm. ago. So there's a line from Policy of Truth, and it's the kind of whole gist of the song. It's just time to pay the price for not listening to advice and deciding in your youth on the policy of truth.
That's cool.
That was kind of the Silverchair album. That, you know, you're
pretty much.
Nobody's ever gone through this, and I'm right. And you know, so I like how like the policy of truth. I would have never come up with those three words mm-hmm. to say that, and it's a good word play. Anyways, so that's a close. I mentioned my three favorite. I think I go to Enjoy the Silence. I'll pick for my favorite.
Okay, that's a good pick.
I think I'll go with that. It's the layers. It's very up, and I always like the snares in the chorus.
Ah, yeah.
They switch.
Cool.
It's just very subtle, but it's got the high vocals and low vocals, and I just always like Enjoy the Silence.
I like the laser attack that happens.
It's cool.
In the chorus.
Yeah, it's got cool sounds. It's very 80s, but again, very clean. Mm-hmm. But it starts right away. It just kind of makes you go. It's like it's very European too.
Oh yeah, very right? much so. And it's kind of ironic too.
Yeah.
Enjoy the silence.
Yeah, enjoy the silence. But it's very up. But yeah, I just like the in the chorus the snare forever. It's like do ta ta do ta, and then it's do ta. It's like it's syncopated, but then also kind of straight, and mm-hmm. it just shifts. It's very drum machine-esque, so it's very predictable.
Yeah,
but it's also different that little shift. And I don't know. I'm singing the parts and all the lines, and I saw some cool live videos, and it looks like
that's
it
awesome. Live.
So I'll choose Enjoy the Silence.
I think that's a good choice.
And I like Policy of Truth that you mentioned, so that was good. World of My Eyes, Personal Jesus. Yeah, Halo has like a cool bass synth.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of agree with you, Sweetest Perfection. It's like a letdown after World of My Eyes.
It is.
So, but it's not the worst, but I sometimes do skip that one, I admit.
Okay.
Let's see, Blue Dress, you mentioned, is kind of slightly creepy, but it's kind of got cool sounds and drums. Clean, it's a good closer, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, it is what it is. But the song that is kind of quieter, I don't think it develops. It doesn't move enough. It's okay. The longest, I believe. One of the longest, if not the longest. I'm looking at I think it's the longest, a little over 6 minutes. It's got a nice hook kind of once it gets there, but it's just a little tiny hook and that's it. It's Waiting for the Night. It just, maybe if it's on in the background, this song works. Yeah. It's not like very live. It's very like an album filler song for
me. That's a good pick.
Yeah, I mean, when he says waiting for the night, that's about the best part of the song. And he says it a few times throughout the song. But yeah, Radiohead listened to the song a few times and a whole bunch of other bands that had their postal service and all those do-do-do-do-do at the beginning. So my very bad version. Yes. I would roll that back, but I'll just leave all that in there. That was the robot singing. Anyways, so yeah, that'll be my pick, Waiting for the Night. Just, it's an album filler.
Okay.
That's why I have held this album on for a while, or held on to it, excuse me, that out of 9 songs, like, let's say 4, I feel like 4 or 5 are pretty strong.
Yeah, I've got 4 that are now on a playlist.
Yeah, that it is kind of unfortunate that the other songs, they're kind of fillers.
Yeah.
But it just sounds so good that I've just held on to this. But, like in terms of the kick and low end and synths and space, and I like that. So it's not just the songs that I appreciate, it's the production too.
That's awesome. And I would agree with that. The production is very good on this. I'm actually very pleased with I was very surprised with how pleased I was with the instrumentation on some of these songs, like just the different layers, as you keep saying, layers. But that's the best way to describe it. And it's just, I don't know, those 4 songs, in my opinion, are like solid.
Yeah, it could be like an EP or something. And if you listen, when I listen to other Depeche Mode, like there's the blown out 80s version that's just all kind of loud and maybe kind of cheesy, like Just Can't Get Enough. Like that's a cool song, but it's also kind of Just Can't Get Enough. And it's like the younger. I feel like this is like, okay, Depeche Mode, 10 years in.
Yeah.
I don't know how old they were all at the time, but they were... It sounds very much more mature than early Depeche Mode. And then...
Is that the Speak and Spell album or Speak and Say or something like that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their first record.
Some of that stuff. Yeah. It's
not very good.
Yeah. It's hard to listen to. Just the sound, the quality. And then later Depeche Mode, I think, kind of all sounds like this.
Yeah. I think... but the thing is the reason why I haven't considered Depeche Mode in years is because I feel like in the mid-90s or whatever... It all just started to and sound the same.
Yeah, I think they kind of hit it with Personal Jesus. Mm-hmm. They kind of went into the guitar stuff.
No, I think that song's still awful.
And then they had kind of some of these songs that were very clean, and it wasn't the cheesy early, in a good way again, that cheesy early stuff that, I think this is just the best of all worlds of Depeche Mode, and I'll still stand by Violator. Right. They had Exciter later. That was kind of a cool... I think it was kind of a play on this. But anyways...
That's awesome.
I still think it's a cool album cover, cool album name.
It's a cool album cover. Cool
band name. So how can you go wrong with Violator?
Good point. Well, thank you out there for tuning in to this episode of The Album Argument. We really appreciate it. Please, if you haven't already, go out there and buy every Depeche Mode album and single and EP and record and LP and CD and tape. And
I think they're still touring. Go see at least Martin and David. They're touring together.
Yeah. I am going to have to go look up some of their live stuff now. I'm really interested in that. And also, if you haven't already, please share us with your friends and families or anybody else you think would be interested in hearing us debate about Depeche Mode.
Grandma might like this.
Grandma might like
it. Maybe. Yeah, she'd bring out her black eyeliner and all that. So.
Get a little emo and goth and go at it. If you haven't already, check us out at thealbumargument.com, where you can find Jay's Spotify playlist and any other information about us you might be looking for. And that's about it. Anything else, Jeremy?
No, we'll can't wait for another week next week.
Sweet. What are we doing next week?
Oh, yeah. Next week, we're staying in England. You want to mention this England. Is your album.
Yeah, we're going to totally be listening different. To Bush's 16 Stone and talk about the beautiful 90s grunge rock album that came from England.
Just a few years after this album. Mm-hmm. So interesting.
Yeah, very good. Pick. Yeah. Until next time, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jeremy.
Deuces, we are out.